America was stunned this weekend as we discovered that a couple of people who seemed to be drinking of the American dream seemed not to be satisfied with all that being a renowned decorator or being a world traveler brings. Our heart goes out to the families of designer Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, I believe, even a colleague from someone here. And it makes us all stop and wonder. So you're a creative genius, and you can see design and create things that women ooh and all over, but yet in the midst of that, there's pain down deep. Or maybe you're Mr. Anthony, who had a ticket to travel all over the world and eat exotic meals and tell the rest of the world about your travels, but still have pain in your life that you don't know what to do. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in America. Every day in this great land of opportunity, a land in which the world wishes that they could spend their life, there's 123 people that take their life every day. As I said earlier, 50% of people who take their own life, there is no visible sign from members of their family that there was any type of struggle. 8 weeks ago, we were in our staff meeting, and Pastor Dave Devine said, on June 10th, I believe God wants us to deal with emotional pain. Here we are in the genius of God and the foreknowledge of God and the word that the Lord has prepared for you is directly in order for what our nation is facing. The nightly news said, we're concerned. Because after comedian Robin Williams took his life, suicide escalated 200% in America. But I want you to know you're at the right place at the right time, and God has a specific word for you and for your family and for your peers in the marketplace, because today God is going to help you become whole emotionally and psychologically, so you can be what God wants you to be. Do you agree with me that the key to your future really has to do with being emotionally whole so you can be the kind of person that God wants you to be? Absolutely. We find that King David wrote in 1 Chronicles chapter 14 and chapter 15 and 16, how, even when you're under so much emotional stress, to develop psychological and emotional stability to handle big things. Sometimes you just like have to take a time out and say, wow, I've got so many things coming at me from so many different directions. How do I even have the emotional wherewithal to take it on? Well, notice the preparation that David had for his big assignment. His big assignment. Long before David was anointed king, God prepared him emotionally in a quite an odd way. He spent hours silent in a quiet place watching sheep hour after hour. There's something special about the quiet times in your life. Oh, God was preparing him out of nowhere when a lion and a bear came roaring, trying to grab a member of his family. Oh, it was a little lamb, but it was still a member of his family. And that sudden crisis moment, oh, it prepared David for the leadership that God had him in his future. If that wasn't enough, and God's emotional formation of David for his assignment as a leader. What about this one? David had his authority say, hey, I want you to come in and serenade me. I like the way you play the guitar or the harp. And so David would be singing or playing a song, soothing the tension that was on King Saul. And out of nowhere, do you ever find yourself at work or around your world and out of nowhere, javelins just started sailing toward his head. And David's like, David had to learn to play with his eyes wide open because he never knew when this guy that says, oh, I just love you so much. I just love the way you play. Boom, was throwing a javelin right at him. Hey, I just kind of like your life. You never know. But if that wasn't bad enough, how about this? If this isn't kind of a stressful situation, the heir to the throne of Israel was David's best friend, Jonathan, the son of the crazy king, demonized king. But there was tension relationally in this situation because even though Jonathan and David enjoyed one another's company and they were like brothers, the people in the streets were saying, we want David, we want David. Can you shout awkward? So it's all this emotional tension. But you know what it was? God allows us to go to the minor league and the kindergarten of emotional formation. So when the time comes for our big assignment, we have been tutored by the grace of God to stand strong when it's coming at us from every situation. I want you to notice when David got his big career jump. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse number 8. I want you to see what happens as soon as he gets a job. Because this is, when you get a new job, this is what it's like. As soon, or when, the Bible says when. Everybody says when. I mean, as soon as he got on the job, what happened? Look at the text up there. As soon as David became king, the Philistines saying, we're going to take him out. We're going to come at him. You don't have Philistines, but you have multiple emotional challenges that are going to try to take you out, darling. And sometimes you just wonder, do I tell anyone? Do I carry it alone? Do I run off? Do I just exit? Or do you exhaust every issue to your, like the beautiful lady this week that takes a scarf and hangs herself because that's her best way out? Now look at what the verse says. It says the Philistines came and they encircled David. And as this verse continues on the next slide, I want you to see a powerful statement from a healthy emotional heart. David says, Lord, it's all around me. And they're coming on strong. I want to ask you something. Do I take them on? Or will you take care of them when I hand it over to you? Beloved, when you're going through emotional challenges, please make 1 Peter 5 and 7 one of your favorite verses. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, may I tell you, you're loved. Your Heavenly Father cares for you. Your church is standing with you. Your pastoral staff wants to walk through you, and you are not at the end of your rope. You can turn it over to the Lord. Amen? And Carol, look what the Lord says. He says, you know what? Look at that last line. Hey, go, and I will do the work. I want you to do less and be more. I want you to live in this realm where you know the battle is the Lord's. I want you to move through all these mind games that it's driving other people crazy and off the edge, and I want you to be emotionally healthy so the crazy challenges of home life and schedule and living in America and the... you have the bandwidth to handle it so I can use you in the marketplace like I want to use you. Now, I want you to get this next piece. I've been on vacation, and I went to see Mom, and I preached at my home church last week, three times last weekend, and I'm just ready to preach to you. And I've missed you. I hope you've missed Gail and I just a little bit. But here's a piece that I really want you to get. I want you to own what I'm about to tell you. This world that you live in is not a normal world. When you look at your life and the atrocities that come towards you and to you, if you don't understand this, you will make a fist toward God and say, God, why? Why? But you got to know, this is not the world God intended. It is, Kelvin, an abnormal world. The world God intended for you to enjoy was the world Adam and Eve enjoyed before the fall. There was no bigotry in the garden. There was no abuse in the garden. There was no hurt, emotional pain, and isolation and abandonment in the garden. But this world will be normal again when King Jesus finishes it up. Can you say praise the Lord for that? But right now, you and I are living in an abnormal world. So let's don't blame God and get mad at His goodness and His benevolence when it's coming like this. Because it's not what God intended. It's because of my sin and your sin and Adam and Eve's and the fall, and that the Lord wanted to have us in relationship with Him. So He allowed a free will to be in front of us. And this free will, we're dealing with this abnormal state. But soon and very soon, the world and all the kingdoms thereof is going to be ruled completely and totally by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Ancient of Days. And when that happens, you won't have to deal with the emotional trauma that you deal with on a daily basis. Now, when Pastor Dave said, Pastor Danny, I want us to build a message on this, on emotional healing. Devotions for the emotion. And I had 8 weeks to look at this. And I ran immediately to Stephanie Holmes, who is a trained Christian counselor here. And I said, Stephanie, she has an office here. I'm going to be teaching on this. And give me some information. I want some of your resources. And immediately, within a day, I had a whole series. And maybe some other month we can just kind of go. But something, she reached out to a pastor who developed the counseling center at YWAM, which is one of the great international mission forces in the world. And this pastor responded to her, cited her, and told her, Stephanie, I've been in the ministry for years helping people with emotional issues. And there are outliners, people that don't fit into this. But basically, I have come to believe that there are 6 categories that produce emotional upheaval in someone's life. And he shared with them, and I want to go through it because you live in an abnormal world, because there's still a serpent out there, you're probably going to be touched by 1 or 2 of these 6. The first one was cruel words, abusive words. Loser, when are you going to get it right? I don't like you anymore. Words that take your emotions and just like, oh, words. Traumatic events, you know, going to war, losing a family member. I can't imagine losing a baby, child. Traumatic events that you never asked for, that boom, and maybe walking with your brother through some health issues. It's there. It comes knocking on your door at inopportune times. What just heaviness. Somebody breaks a promise, and just a heaviness of spirit, and that type of, I think number 3, go ahead and put number 3 up there if you will. a broken spirit or in heaviness, promises that you were counting on, that you just, it just, when you get to the point when there's no hope, ladies and gentlemen, as followers of Jesus, more than ever, we need our hope on the edge of our nose. Can you say amen? We need to radiate hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Because there is a heaviness. Sexual activity that's not honored by God has to be an emotional fragmentation. It has to be. But, you know, either you can just be so numb that you can give yourself to someone else that's not honoring to God. It doesn't mean anything to you, so you're emotionally numb. You're just there just for the thrill. And it, you either go there, or when two people are active sexually and they're not under God's covering, it's more than two bodies being together. It's two spirits and emotions and lives being joined in the most intimate way. And when that's torn, there is a ripping. There's an emotional turn. Which do you want? You want to be numb? We don't even feel life anymore? Or do you want to be ripped to shreds? And look, plenty of us have failed in so many areas. If that's not enough, this pastor said, addictions, where we allow things to control us. And then finally, the last thing was that sometimes we get under an authoritative dictator that just is an egomaniac and just drives us. What do we do? Where do we go? How many of these emotionally shredding issues are you dealing with right now, or somebody that loves you? 1 Chronicles chapter 14. We'll put it up there again. Guess what? Another wave of Philistine emotional attack came. And I kind of like, as you peruse over this verse, and there's three of these slides, so just go as the people look at it. David was saying, I'm ready to take them on. You delivered them into my hand earlier. And the Lord told him, he says, David, I want you to pause. I want you to wait before you go to attack the battles of your day. And you wait till you see me moving in the tops of the balsam trees. And after you see my Holy Spirit and my presence moving in the tree limbs above you, after you've waited and you know that I'm there, then you run down to the real world of your life. In other words, this is what God is saying. Every day, I want you to get a dose of normalcy. Every day, I want you to see my power and my glory and my love. And I want your life to be fortified with supernatural presence that only comes from me. And after I touch you in a moment of devotions, if it's 5 minutes or 2 minutes or 15 minutes or 30, then after I've moved upon you and touched you the way your life is supposed to be, then I want you to go to the abnormal. I want you to go to the unexpected. I want you to be ready for the ugly, because after I've moved upon you in a time of early devotions, you are well equipped to hold your shoulders up and march through your life and be the force I want you to be, no matter what. Lion, bear, or Goliath comes your way. Do you want to be ready for the javelins next week? I'm telling you how you do it. You wait every morning till the touch of God impresses your heart just a little bit before you go to the real world. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand right now. There it is. There it is. I want to talk to you how to do that right now for the next few moments. I want to talk to you about how to do that, because if you're not doing this in the mornings, you're doing your emotional health a disservice. How far can you go in life if you just have the emotional wherewithal to do it? David had to be spiritually connected to hear the voice of the Lord to be a king and a ruler. David had to be physically strong enough to hold up his sword in battle, leading the troops. But he also had to be emotionally healthy enough to deal with the unexpected. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, write it down. This is the will of God for you. The Bible says, I want you to be whole. I want you to be complete. I want you to have the whole package. I want you to be whole, spirit, soul, and body at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to prophesy over your life right now. As you continue to seek first the Lord and worship the Lord and meet the Lord in the morning, you are going to be emotionally, mentally, and physically ready. Hallelujah. When the Lord comes, because you've done and you are the person God wanted you to be. Now, there's a master verse that I've always wanted to preach. And I've never got to preach until today. And I'm going to stop right now. Because before I left, Ginger was over here, one of our members. And I said, I want you to pray for me because I'm preaching on a verse. And I shared this verse with her. And since then, I've heard that she's been under a physical attack. And I don't care about preaching. I don't care. I want us, everyone, if you're comfortable, I want you to turn your hands to heaven. I want you to pray for a lady from our church named Ginger, that the complete and total healing power of God would just sweep over her body. Right? Can we just get interrupted for a moment? Just call her name Ginger. Lord, we pray for Miss Ginger. And we pray that you would heal her in the name of the Lord. Now, I want to give you a verse, young people. If you get this, I promise you, you will discover an emotional source of strength that will take you as far as you need to go. If you don't get it, you'll be struggling for a lifetime. Here we go. 1 Chronicles 16:29. There's so much richness in this. I'm not going to scratch the surface, but I want you to look at this verse. In fact, I want you to read it with me at the count of three. Because when you do, emotional health is just going to flow through you. I believe it in Jesus' name. All right, you ready? All right, get your lungs full of air, and let's read it together out loud, powerfully. Speak it into your tomorrows. Speak it into the lion and the bear and the Goliath coming at you. Are you ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. I want you to fill your lungs with air. I want you to take it up about three more decibels. Right, here you go. Here we go. A little bit bolder. Prophesy in your future. I will give unto the Lord the glory due his name. I'll bring an offering every morning and come before him and worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Would you give the Lord a hand and a shout and a praise? This is emotional health. First of all, I want you to look at the word give. Everybody say the word give. Now, that's NIV. I kind of like the King James better. It's more sophisticated and it's different from our normal talk, so it catches our attention. It's a novelty. Ascribe. David said every morning, I will ascribe to him the glory due. There's two words in that first phrase that are dynamic. Give, ascribe, and do. Let's do a word study on give or ascribe. The word give or ascribe, if you'll do this in the morning, you're going to get emotionally healthy. This is what it means. It means to set a marker, to set an official marker, to set a mark. So, if you'll go to that first point, Greg, I want them to see that. Set a marker of attention. In the morning, you're getting started, you're shuffling for your coffee, you're going to sit down for a minute or two, and the Spirit of the Lord is waiting to move in the balsam leaves ahead of you to get you ready for the ugly, the crazy, the uncontrollable. But when you go there, and your whole day is before you, what you need to do at that moment in your devotional time for your emotional health, you set a marker of attention. This give. There's another word of definition. It means to give control to one who is worthy. It's like in the beginning of the morning, taking the controls remote control of your life and say, God, I'm giving it to you. It's making a choice or a decision. It is formally putting things in its place. So when you start your day and you say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I give. What you're doing is you're setting a marker. Right now, at the beginning of my day, I am officially and formally declaring this, that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my day is surrendered to His glory and praise. It is an official statement. It is a marker of it. It's almost like getting yourself, calling attention to yourself and everybody else. I think a colloquial modern way that we would use the word ascribe would mean, come on, man. Come on, man. Or have you ever heard somebody say, come on, man? You ever heard, maybe you don't talk like that. Maybe you're too sophisticated. Come on, man. That's a scribe. It's like you're in the morning, and this is what you're saying. Come on, Danny. Make it official. Come on, man. Get your attention on this marker. Come on, Danny. Get your focus on giving God the glory today. It's calling attention. This word is used in a different way that brings meaning to it. When Jacob came up to his father-in-law to be Laban after working 7 years, and he had earned the right to marry his daughter, and Jacob walked up and he says, give me what I deserve. Give me what I have earned. You made a deal with me. It's official. After 7 years, I get to marry your good-looking daughter. Come on, I want it. And ladies and gentlemen, this is how you tap into emotional health. Every day, every sunrise, you get up and you call attention to your day and you say, I'm making it official. I'm calling it out to myself. I'm calling it out to everybody else I'm living in. I'm living this day for the glory of God. It is official. And I've just set a marker. Wow. You know what I love about that verse as we go back to verse 29, if you'll put it back up there, is not only the word give or ascribe powerful, there's a word do. D-U-E. What does it mean when you have a project due? What does it mean when you have a report due, homework due? Help me. What does it mean when a library book is due? When a bill, somebody said, come on, man. When all those bills are due, it means time's up. The time has come. It's time to do it. Here's how you get fortified emotionally. You get up every morning and you set your marker. I ascribe to Him glory. And every morning, due date has arrived for me one more time to give Him the glory and the praise and thanks for being my God. You can't live on yesterday's surrender. You can't wait till 2 weeks and surrender 3 weeks from now and be emotionally healthy. Here's how you're emotionally healthy. Every day when you get up, get your coffee, get your oatmeal, scramble your eggs, eat your Pop-Tart. I'm not into your breakfast, but I am into this. Every morning you get up with this knowledge. Oh, I know what's due. What's due is me giving this day back to God and saying, Lord, time for me to honor You and praise You is right now. And I am not going to be overdue in giving You the glory due Your name. Go ahead and praise the Lord. You know what happens? There's a health that flows out of you. When you get to the workplace, when you get to school, when you're around your family, and you've already set these markers, and your day's already established, there's declarations that you can make. You know, say the Lord's Prayer. I pray the prayer of Jabez every morning. I ask God to make me a miracle delivery agent every morning. Pastor Dave has declarations. You need to have some declarations that you declare over your babies, that you declare over your careers, that you declare over your home, and you just set your day and you ascribe the glory to the Lord. I'm not going to get into it, but as we look at that verse, I want you to bring offerings and come before the Lord. Bring offerings and come before the Lord. We didn't make a point out of that because we wanted to go to the third one, but I just want to say, every day, just offer yourself, Lord, here I am again. Use me in any way you want to. The Bible says, come before him. I want to report to you that you're looking at a very happy daddy right now. Do I look happy? Mommy, would you stand up? I want you to stand up. I know, come hurry up quick. I'm about to run out of time. I want you, look, is that a happy looking mom? I want to tell you what's happened. We're so happy because our 25-year-old daughter, Daly's just got a new job in Atlanta, and she's moving here in 2 weeks, and we are tickled out of our mind. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And she was just exiting some of her friends at work, and she read me a letter. She read to one of her colleagues that texted her and said, I'm not an atheist, but I'm a skeptic. But Daly, I've truly seen the fingerprint of God in your life. And she gave him her fire Bible. Now she's got to buy a new fire Bible. And showed him how you can read to be born again. And she said in this letter, please know that if you'll draw nigh to God, he will always draw nigh to you. And that's what that says. Every morning, offer the Lord your day and dare to draw near to him, and he will come to you. And that gets us to this final phrase that I love so profoundly that I want to share with you. Because you have no idea the responsibility and the challenges and the pressures that's coming your way. But if you will live in this final phase and phrase of this scripture, you will be so emotionally healthy you can handle the volatility of your life. Look what he says. David said, I'm going to be all right as king because every morning I'm going to worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. So how do you be emotionally healthy when you're working with a Kate Spade and she's empty and you want to be the person that imparts hope to her? You survey the beauty of the greatness of God every day. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Now I want you to lean in. I want you to go back to that verse. And I've asked some people to pray for me as I communicate what I'm about to communicate right now. I want you to look at this word. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Now I want to tell you right now, in your mind and in your mind and your heart, there is no way you have full understanding of what all that means. Because I don't. In fact, I will say this. No one who's ever lived the human condition has ever probed the richness of what it means to discover the full-orbed holiness and the beauty of the holiness of God. In fact, I will say this, and I really want you young people and young adults to get this. The holiness and the beauty of holiness and what living a holy life will do in your personal relationships is so beautiful, but yet unexplored. I believe the beauty of his holiness is the one frontier in the world that is least explored than anything else. And you can get bored with what I'm saying right now, but there's something to this. We can go to Mars. We can send probes to Mars. We can go to the deeps of the sea. We can do microbiology. But the most untapped realm waiting to be probed is the beauty of his holiness. What is holiness? Listen to it. Holiness means to be complete, to be full, to be set apart, to be lacking nothing, to be totally contained within itself. When we get to heaven, you know what we're going to do? We're going to cry, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. And so when we dare in our brokenness and our emotional shreddings to take time to get a glimpse of His holiness. You know what we're looking at? Completeness. Fullness. One who lacks nothing. One who is all in all. And when you dare worship Him in the beauty of your holiness, His holiness, you know what happens? His health. His comfort zone. His completeness moves into your world. And regardless of those traumatic issues, when you turn over to Him and He says, be ye holy, for I am holy, and no one can see me without holiness. And then He provides a Son to wash our sins away, and He brings us into His presence and let us be with Him in His holiness. You know what it does? There's a transference. And there's a transmission of His completeness. And it fills our brokenness. And where we had a vacuum, and where we were hurt, and where we were abused, and where we faced bigotry, all of a sudden we don't have to live there anymore, because the beauty of His holiness has overtaken us. As the musicians come out, I want to tell you, I remember I was 18, I heard one of the most incredible statements I ever heard in my life. And I want to rehearse it to you, because, I mean, it was a marker in my life. Just come on out, Lucas and Lord. Begin to play that song. I was 18 years old. I was a college freshman playing football. And I really want you to hear what I'm about to say, because it was crazy, but it changed my life. My college football coach when I was 18 was a mere 25 years old. His name was Denny Duran. And he was a very impressive young man. At 25, he was the head college football coach at Evangel University. He said, that's no big deal. Well, he's also had played 2 years for the NFL Washington Redskins. That's no big deal. He had also won two national championships as quarterback at Louisiana Tech. He was the best-looking guy I'd ever met, best-looking young man I'd ever met. He was the most successful young man I'd ever been around. He was the most charismatic personality I'd ever met. He had more beautiful girls chasing him than I'd ever seen in my life. He was the most prosperous 25-year-old young man I ever met. He was the most accoladed and reward national championship quarterback. He had two rings. He had to make up his mind which national championship ring he would wear. And he's standing in chapel. A guy who would later, after coaching that university 7 years, would go to Shreveport and build a church school at First Assembly in Shreveport, where the high school church football team would win the national high school football championship among all high schools in America, public, the biggest schools in America, and he won the national championship with the entire team filled with blind side type athletes whose dads were crack addicts and drug dealers. Half the team were little blindside boys, and half of them were guys who went to the church. This is one incredible young man when he's 25. He's the greatest preacher I ever heard. The sweetest man I've ever been around. Get around somebody like this who's so emotionally healthy. You gotta say, come on, Danny. How did he get there? Oh, he's had attacks. He's had heartbreak. He lives in an abnormal world just like you. But when he was 25 years old, he was speaking to the student body, and he made this audacious statement. He said, I want all of you college students to know. You couldn't believe I heard a 25 red-blooded American male with the same hormones I had raging through me make this statement. He said this, I am high on being clean. Clean before the Lord. I am high on just being in right relationship with the Lord. As an 18-year-old, I sit there, did I hear him say what he just said? That he's celebrating being clean? know what I've come to find out? That when you're hurting and you're shattered and you're emotionally torn, and it doesn't matter if it's cruel words, just knowing that someday the Lord's going to look over your life because you've asked Him into your heart to be Lord and Savior, and He's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Those words in your future can overcome a lot of painful words of yesterday. Give the Lord a hand for that. Traumatic experiences, a lack of hope, of heaviness, just having Jesus as your blessed hope, knowing that it's tough today, but He said He's coming back for me, and I'm going to keep that hope in my life. Just the fact that He'll forgive us of all of our sexual failures and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just to know that if we've been addicted, that He's the one that said, "I have come to set the captive free, and who the Son has set free, he can be free indeed." And just knowing you don't have an authoritative dictator that's trying to crush you when you follow Jesus, you have the good shepherd that will lay down His life. I know this, that the way to be emotionally healthy is to touch the holiness of the beautiful one. Because when you worship and serve Him in the beauty of His holiness, you can't help but let His completeness heal the pain of what you faced in this abnormal world. That is how emotions can be healed, through having a daily emotional, devotional encounter with the one that loves you. Would you bow your head with me right now? Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray that you would do a work in our life and in this room right now. In this room right now, there are hurts. Some of it that we've brought on ourselves. Some of it is from the devil, and some of it is from just the crazy, abnormal world we live in. But Lord, you are the healer of our hearts. And in a few moments, we're going to have prayer partners come up and have a prayer opportunity for you. We're going to worship the Lord a little bit more in just a second as Hadley comes up. But whatever issue you're going through, we want you to know we're going to have prayer partners, and we have trained counselors throughout the Chapel Hill ministry. If you're here and you need some help, I want to give you a code word to give to our prayer partners. Just say, "I'm in trouble. I need some help." That's all you have to say, and we're not going to let you be oppressed by darkness. We'll do whatever we have to do to get you some help. But right now, if you're here right now, you say, "Brother Danny, there is sin in my life, and I have been separated by the holiness of the Lord, and I don't want that gap any longer. I want to be forgiven, and I want Jesus to cleanse me of all my sin and all my failure, and I don't want any barrier between me and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to humble yourself and let the healing power of Jesus flow through you as you respond in honesty that you have sinned and come short of His glory, and you want Jesus to forgive you of your sins. I'm going to count to three. Would you just raise your hand where you are? 1, 2, 3. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you for that confession. Thank you. Thank you. Hands are going up all over this place. Don't be embarrassed. You live in an abnormal world. Therefore, opportunity to fail comes. Now, I want everyone to pray this prayer with me. Pray this prayer out loud so no one's embarrassed to pray it. Father, in Jesus' name, I have failed you, and I've compromised. I don't want to run away from you. I want to run to you. Forgive me of my failure, of hurting you, of hurting the people I love, and hurting myself. Cleanse me by your precious blood. I ask you to make me whole, spirit, soul, and body. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.